I missed you.
I know. Hi, guys. You guys haven't missed us because
we've been gone for 4 weeks. We had a bit of a hiatus, but we haven't seen each other for longer than that because we pre-recorded for like a month and a half.
Well, yeah, because I had an Ash class. Hi, guys. This is the Fordcast, a Harrison Ford podcast.
Where we bi-weekly will be going through the movies of Harrison Ford in order, or trying to.
Didn't realize I watched movies out of order.
I told you not to admit to that.
I don't care. I'll admit to it. We have to record too because I'm going on vacation. And spoiling the behind the scenes of podcasting.
Oh no. And now everybody knows.
But here's the thing. We were talking about what movies we had to watch, and I went, oh, well, like, I watched the Frisco Kid first, and Lauren went, well, it was Hanover Street, then Frisco Kid. I'm like, well, I did that wrong.
Correct you. You asked me the order. But here's the thing. They're all from 1979, so.
Who knows?
You're okay. I think you're okay. So what have you been up to, Rachel?
Well, the reason we had to very pre-record was because I was in an advanced study herald at UCP that met on Sundays. And so that's like our prime recording time because it's when me, Lauren, and our lovely, lovely, lovely...
Lovely, amazing...
Marika can record. And
she just waved, guys.
She waved because you really know it's a podcast. Really good podcasting. and so... I was just busy on Sundays, but I have
because you record crazed. Like two other podcasts as well.
Yes, I record a podcast. Well, I record two podcasts on Sundays, this and Tell Amazing, and then on Saturdays, or if we can't do Saturdays during the week, we do Hard Bodies. Hard Bodies is harder because Hard Bodies is weekly. And well, Tell Amazing's weekly, but like Joe can kind of handle it. It's his podcast. I'm just like a co-host where Hard Bodies and this are like very much a me thing. Mm-hmm. And so it's, we have to be able to record. So this one's easier because it's bi-weekly, where Hard Bodies is like every week I have to watch a movie and talk about a hot bod.
Wow, your life is so hard.
Life is so hard. I told Hannah.
I'm talking about the hard body part.
Oh, I got it.
Yeah.
But I told Hannah, who does Hard Bodies with me, she said that she just finished Penny Dreadful, so she's in love with Josh Hartnett. And I went, okay, I know exactly what's going to happen when we watch Hollywood Homicide then. And that's going to be the crossover episode, so I'm making her come on.
Oh, yay. So we have a guest.
For
That'll Hollywood be great. Because you know how much I love Hollywood Homicide.
Well, yeah, the minute I said that, she was, that movie's fucking dumb. I was like, you're the one that talked about Josh Hartnett, so you're coming on.
Well, we'll need topics then. So that's good. Oh, no.
It's dangerous when you get me and Hannah. Like, if you ever listen to Hard Bodies, it's just straight up the two of us, like, being idiots. Because we're both comedians, so it's like, it's just, we do bit on bit on bit. And then you can hear, normally Hannah, but every once in a while me, try and get it back onto the topic that we're talking about.
It's an art.
But it's mainly Hannah that does it. Because I'll just keep going with something. And she'll go, so in the movie...
So everybody has three ways to listen to you.
Yes, three ways. And what have you been up to, dear Lauren?
I have been watching a lot of movies and catching up, which is great. But I'm really excited. I'm gonna have a column for a pop culture website called Forces of Geek, forcesofgeek.com, and I have free reign to talk about anything that I want. I'm letting you know now that it will mostly be television. but I made him promise, the editor of the site, when he offered it to me, I said, okay, that's great. You know, here are some topics that I really want to talk about. But occasionally I will want to talk about Star Wars. And if I can't do that, I have no interest in this column.
If I don't get to talk about Star Wars, I don't want to do it.
We're going to do a lot of starting time. So my first column will be in July. I don't know the exact date, so I, of course, you know, put it on social media, but, you know, keep an eye out for it. And it's on the five shows you are not watching but should.
Pushing Daisies. Fuck the world. I'm still so mad about Pushing Daisies.
Oh, no. That would be a different list. This is what's on now. But, yeah, I'm definitely going to do shows also that are no longer in the air that you should be watching.
Shows that, because you were stupid... ended prematurely.
Yeah, pretty much.
That's basically my list, is just Pushing Daisies.
That actually would be a really good
list. And Life on Mars. I loved Life on Mars.
Okay, that's a whole other story that we can talk about
not
later.
The British Life on Mars. I liked the American Life on Mars with the Scottish guy playing the American cop.
No, I loved it. I hated the ending. But I think
you had to rush the ending.
Yeah, it was ruined.
Oh, there are so, like, those are the two shows. I like really weird TV. Like, I like normal stuff.
I love that you like, Life on Mars is the reason why I started listening to David Bowie.
Oh, see, I've loved David Bowie since I was a little kid. But, that was one of the reasons I loved Life on Mars, was because the opening song was Life on Mars by David Bowie. Because, like, my first memory ever of my mom and my dad, like, mm-hmm. that I, like, clearly remember, like, obviously I remember something before this because I was, like, 4 or 5 when this happened. But we were in the car, and it was my mom's birthday, so it was July 13th. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Harrison. And so we were in the car. My dad.
That's Harrison's birthday, by the way.
It's Harrison and my mom's birthday. And my dad had bought my mother David Bowie's greatest hits. And the first David Bowie song I remember hearing was Changes, because it's my mom's favorite song. And she like put it on in the car, and they all were singing Changes, and I had never heard it before. And like I was like 4, and I distinctly remember we were in like the Camry. Like I remember everything about it. Like he had bought it for him. We were like, oh yay. Like, and that's like the first memory I have of like driving in the car and listening to music was like my mom getting a David Bowie soundtrack.
Well, my issue is
soundtrack. Oh God. David Bowie CD.
Oh my God. Did you just do that? Ooh. Well, I used to work at a theme restaurant. Yeah. And they played Changes so much that I couldn't stand listening to it for a while. So unfortunately that was my first real like huge David Bowie experience.
You're like, fuck you, David
but
Bowie.
To get back on track, one of the things
don't
that you,
rest in peace David Bowie,
one of the things that you, wait what no I adore him, that's all I listen to now is David Bowie and Elvis Costello, but I digress. You wrote this really great, I thought, blog post that I thought would actually key into Harrison.
Yes, I did. I'll explain what happened and why,
please.
So American Psycho closed, and it was a musical, like, it meant a lot to me because it was my favorite composer, Duncan Sheik, did the music. He actually wrote the lyrics for this one, which that's why I like the music, because it's actually really, really good. But, and American Psycho is one of my favorite movies, and I've read the whole book, and, Benjamin Walker has been one of my favorite Broadway boys for a really long time. So it was just very much a musical that I thought was crafted. Like, someone went into my brain and was like, what weird-ass musical does Rachel want to see? And that's, like, my new love is Waitress. And I, like, Marika and I have differing opinions on it. But, I, like, that it's kind of that same thing with me where it's like, what? Why Waitress? But it's like, yeah, I would think of that. Like, I, like, think of weird combinations. And, like, I would never think, oh, yeah, Sarah Bareilles. Instead of, like, coming up with a cool story, we're going to use Waitress, the movie with Carrie Russell and Nathan Fillion. Like, and that's like how my brain works. That's why I like those kind of musicals. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't like the very typical movie musical. Like, I think those are cheap. But like Kinky Boots, I love, because like I like the movies that are like some people know about them, but not a lot. And then they turn them into musicals, and people are like, "Wait, isn't that a movie?" And like that's what kind of is happening
like
with Waitress.
Ones.
Yeah, so it's kind of happening with Waitress, where like some people are like, "Isn't that Carrie Russell movie?" But like a lot of people don't know what Waitress is.
Yeah.
And American Psycho was different because American Psycho is like a cult classic movie. But, like, the thing I loved about it was how weird, like, it was. And it was just like, what? They're doing American Psycho the musical? And it's like, I wish it would have lasted longer because I thought it was so clever and just so cool. And I really, really liked it.
I feel like, and I didn't get to see it, but I feel like it's going to be like Chicago, where it's going to come back, like, in 20 years, 30 years. Nah, okay.
I think, like, this was the time it needed to happen, and it didn't because people were just not receptive to it. Mm-hmm. And I think in the future it'll be like Bloody Bloody,
which I loved. I love Bloody,
like,
Bloody Andrew
Bloody
Jackson.
Bloody Andrew Jackson is one of those where people just love listening to it and enjoy it, but I don't see it coming back. And like Bloody Bloody, I don't see Bloody Bloody Andrew Jackson coming back to Broadway. And
that's,
I think,
true.
It's one of those where it's like people love it, and like it's kind of like weird comparison, but it's kind of like Chess. We're like, I'm sure at some point in the future there'll be like a concert of it, but like it's never coming back to Broadway.
There was a great Lincoln Center live thing that of Chess with
Well, yeah. I think it's gonna be like Secret. It's gonna be like those musicals that people end up really liking, but just never come back.
Mm-hmm.
Which like I thought that was gonna be Spring Awakening, and it really surprised me when they brought Deaf West here.
Yeah,
because I thought Spring Awakening was done. I thought Spring Awakening was never coming back to Broadway.
Well, I think also with that, it had a different sort of, you know, bent to it. which gave it a reason to be, you know, revived and brought back.
Like, if they hadn't done that production at Deaf West, Spring Awakening would never have been back on Broadway.
Agreed, yeah.
Unless, like, some crazy thing happened in the world and it was relevant again. Because we're in this new era that Spring Awakening just doesn't really apply nowadays. Where when it was created, it was groundbreaking and really, like, hit home. Where now it's like, that's not the world we live in anymore. Like, children know more than adults do anymore. And I think, like, what Spring Awakening was hitting on was the fact that, like, we don't teach our kids. But now with computers and how people are in school and how, like, everyone wants to know more, it's not as hard-hitting. But adding in the elements of, like, them being deaf really kind of changed Spring Awakening in a way that was like, yeah, like, now this is relevant. Where, yeah, it was really because sad. It was like some, they had these disabilities that no one was helping them with, which is still a problem in our world. Mm-hmm. So it, like, made sense that Spring Awakening was brought back for that because it's still relevant. Yeah.
I mean, I've always been a fan of the play.
Oh, yeah. Which, I love. Yeah. Spring Awakening is like hands down my favorite thing on the planet.
I personally think that, I mean, we'll get back to Harrison. Yeah. I personally believe that there are areas in the world and in this country where parents don't tell their children everything. Well, so yeah, I think it is
but
relevant.
Those people are not going to go and see Spring Awakening.
Yeah, well, maybe. Like, but still, it can still be a piece of art to, you know, influence people.
But no, so what happened was, after the show, the closing, the show, like, meant a lot. Like, I got to go on stage. One of the producers was really nice and got me a free ticket.
That's so nice.
They, like, all the producers were like, because I do have, like, 1,000 and some followers on Twitter and 3,000 on Tumblr, they were like, very appreciative of like how much I was campaigning for people to go and see the show. And they were like, no, like, that actually meant a lot. And like, me and Julie Klausner talked about it all the time. It was like weird. But so after the show,
I feel like you and Julie would be like best friends.
Oh, her and I talked about American Psycho in line for the bathroom on the closing day. It was so weird. Like, I turned around, I was like, you and I have talked about this on Twitter a lot. And I was like talking to her and I was like, yeah, I went to Vulture. And I just like was talking to Julie Klausner like in line for the bathroom. And she like, it wasn't one of those things where she went, oh, okay. And like, didn't know. She went, yeah, no. Like, I kept talking to me. And I was like, this is weird. I was like, I don't know how I feel about this, but it was really funny. But we went to the stage door just cause I was like, it's the last time. I really like this cast. They're great. The one Swing, who was in Orange is the New Black this last season, he would always look at me when I would come and be like, what number is this? Because he would like, no, I was like, oh, this is 8. And he was like, oh, geez. And like, him and I would just go back and forth. But like, the only reason I did the stage door, I think it was like 3 times, was because I wanted to meet Ben Walker. And then once I met Ben Walker, I was like, I don't need a stage door. But the last night, I was like, oh, this is special. Like, Bobby Flay was standing outside taking pictures of all of us. It was weird and great.
He's dating
Helene York. Mm-hmm. But it's great. Like, just Bobby Flay made me laugh so hard. But anyway, so like, we're standing out there and like, it got to the point where like, this was before they announced that Ben Walker and Kaya Scandalario were having a kid. And while we were in the musical, she walked past me and my friend and you could tell she was pregnant. And so I was like, oh, okay. Like, that was like, he's probably not going to come out the stage door if she's here and she's pregnant. Like, they haven't announced it. It's not going to happen. Sure enough, like, he didn't come out. And this girl, a couple spots down from me, said, are you kidding me? I spent $180 to see him and he can't even come out and sign this. And like, me being me, like, there's like a point where I can say, like, I won't say anything. And then there's my breaking point.
Yeah.
And I turned around and was like, no, you spent $108 for theater. Like, he owes you nothing. And her and I got in a fight on Twitter about it too. Cause I found her and she
I didn't know that.
She was tweeting about it. And it's just like one of those things where like, I got in a fight with someone at Waitrose for the same thing. They feel they're entitled. And I'm like, you're not entitled to anything. Like, do you not understand that? Like, this is like live theater. What you're entitled to is sitting and watching a performance. You don't own the seat you sit in. You don't, like, it's like going to the movie theaters and talking through the whole thing. And so, like, at Waitrose, I got into a fight to the point where the lady called me a little bitch.
This is a great story. I think, I know we were off topic, but I think you should tell the Waitrose story.
So, like, we're sitting there, and during the first act, this lady kept talking really loudly. I didn't say anything, but the girls behind me did. She came up the stairs and looked at the girls that had said stuff and said, if you wanted a quiet experience. You should have sat in the orchestra.
Ugh, I would have been so angry.
And I turned around. I said, no, 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 no. That's not how theater works. And she was just like, what are you talking? She like looked at me and I went, that is not how the theater works. I bought a ticket so I could see her. She goes, you should have bought one in the orchestra. I was like, no, I fucking paid just as much as you did to sit here. I have just as much right. So she kept fighting me and she goes, next time, just buy one in the orchestra. I said, or, you know, you could shut the fuck up.
Oh, and she I'm didn't sure like she that. Loved. Oh, yeah. I'm
so
sure
she did. Went, listen here, you little bitch.
And oh, you didn't tell me that part.
Yeah. And so I got up and I walked down the stairs because we were in like the second to last row. So I got up and I walked down the stairs and I went to go to the usher and her husband was standing at the bottom of the stairs and he stops me and goes, if you open your mouth to that usher, I'll make everyone come down here and say you were the one that's talking. Mm-hmm. And I went, threatening me isn't going to help. And I like walked around him and went to the usher. And I looked at him and went, first of all, don't enjoy being called a little bitch. Don't enjoy being threatened by a man when all they're doing is talking. And he goes, someone in our group is hard of hearing. So she asked a question. I went, she asked multiple questions very loudly. There's hearing devices down in the basement that's if she needs them.
The hearing devices are in all the theaters.
Yeah, every theater has, because my teacher, they tried to use it as an excuse. And I'm like, and I said that to someone who is hard of hearing. And
they're free,
mad.
By the way. They're free. They don't cost anything.
Yeah, no, like my best friend is hard of hearing. My one teacher can only hear out of one ear. And they both go and get hearing devices if they can't hear. I was telling the story to someone whose girlfriend is hard of hearing. And he goes, she would be pissed off at those people if she heard that.
Yeah.
And I was like, what do you mean? He's like, she hates when people use it as an excuse to be mm-hmm. an asshole. And so like I was like, I understand, like, yeah, but your comments were not answering questions. It was the doctor, like Drew Gehling, like came out and the one girl goes, damn, I love that doctor. I'm like, no one needs to say that. That is not a phrase that needs to come out of somebody's mouth in a theater. And it's just like, and then to bring it back, like what you were telling me about Spain, is that like all these people felt like so entitled to like pictures and things with Harrison Ford.
Yeah. And this is the thing that sort of bothered me personally, and I think is not right, is I get you take pictures from far away. It's a famous person. It's Harrison Ford. Yeah. You know, I'd probably do the same thing. But I see this a lot. Excuse me. Is that people want selfies. So they literally put themselves into his personal space without asking. You can tell like he's getting into a car or he's just walking, as if he's not a human being, as if he's a statue or some sort of object, and then taking a picture together. And that just seems very invasive to me.
Yeah, my friend Kelsey just went and did this thing for Stephen Arnell where he like serves them wine. Mm-hmm. And she said she like didn't get a picture with him. She said that her experience was almost better because she very calmly went up to him and talked to him.
You know, Alan Alda will not do autographs. He will shake your hand.
Alan Alda's like, fuck you guys. Here's my hand.
He feels that it's a better, you know, personal experience.
Well, that's the thing is like, there are very, like I enjoy a nice picture, but I like always try and at least, like, I have a conversation with someone before I'm like, hey, can I get a picture? Because a lot of these people are just like, sign this, can I have a picture? And that's what pissed me about the American Psycho thing is the girl went, great, now I have to carry around this poster
aww.
For a year. And I was like, first of all, fuck you. Excuse my French, but I was like, fuck you. Like, he doesn't owe you anything. And I was like, as somebody who like, I didn't live here when Bloody Bloody Andrew Jackson was up. I didn't get to see Cat on a Hot Tin Roof. This mm-hmm. was the first time I got to see Ben Walker live. And like my ass went to the midnight premiere of Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter. So like I deserved it. But and I watched The Choice. So I really deserved to like meet the guy. But I was very mad because that girl said that. And I was like, that's not being a fan of somebody. I was like, that's you being an asshole and being like, I want to say I have this.
It's treating them like an object.
Yeah.
And not like a person.
Yeah. And that's you being like, I want to say I own this. Not, oh my God, it was so great. Like I've, like with people like Harrison Ford, I think about like what I was like, if I ever met that man, what would I say? And it would kind of be like when I met Daniel Radcliffe, it was great because everyone was yelling and calling him Harry Potter. and saying these things to him. And I looked at him and went, when I was 14 years old, I had your newsletter with all the music you were listening to. And he went, oh God, what was I listening to? And him and I had this moment where we talked about music as he was, and like, he was down at the end of the line and I remembered what song and I yelled it to him and he went, oh my God, and like yelled back to me. And the girl beside me got so mad. And I was like, I didn't treat him like he was a fucking fake thing. He's like,
yeah,
it's a real guy that meant a lot to me growing up. And so I spoke to him like a human. And I think like, I've always think about like, if I ever met Harrison Ford, what would I say? And me being the smartest I am, I'd probably be like, I need to tell you that when I watched Air Force One, it made me realize I like dudes. Like, I was like, I would straight up be like, this is, I was 6 years old and this is what happened.
You know the story about like, Benedict Cumberbatch, right?
No.
When he met Harrison Ford, he said, I used to fantasize about you.
Oh, yeah. No, he did that live on Graham Norton. That was like on the Graham Norton show. And, or no, he told the story
on Graham Norton, yeah.
And Harrison Ford said something that was like, yeah, well, there's always one of them. And like, Benedict Cumberbatch was like, oh God, oh my God. And I, it's just funny because celebrities do it too. Like, Elizabeth Olsen, Mark Hamill came to like the premiere of Civil War, Elizabeth Olsen's like face was just like, holy shit, it's Mark Hamill. And you can see it like, when she recognizes that's Mark Hamill.
Well, I have this theory. I forget if I've talked about it on the show, is that I think that there is a difference also between people from your childhood. So even a celebrity who, you know, this is their job and they talk to famous people all the time and they're not, you know, jaded about it or, I mean, sorry, wrong word. They're not swayed about it in a way. They're used to it. When you see someone from your childhood, it, you know, becomes different. And I think she even freaked out about Harrison Ford as well.
She that was my next point. Like, she was on some, I think it was Kimmel.
It was Kimmel, yeah.
And she was on the same night as Harrison Ford, and she came out, and, like, she was still shaking. Kimmel's like, are you okay? She goes, I just walked past Harrison Ford. And, like, she, like, started freaking out, and I was like, that's, and Sophie Turner does it, too, from Game of Thrones. She's like,
oh, does she?
She's like, I'm a horrible person to bring to events, because she's like, I am not cool around celebrities. And they're like, you're a celebrity. She goes, no, you don't understand. Like, she's like, if I see someone I love, I'm terrible. And I was like, oh, yeah, that's going to be me. Like, I could be around, like, I've walked past Michael Shannon so many fucking times and just walked past him and been like, no, there's Michael Shannon again. And, like, because I live here, like, I see so many people that I just, like, I'm like, well, there goes so-and-so again.
And
this person.
My issue with that, too, is that if it's not someone that I am rabid about or has had an influence on me, I think, oh, God, I'm going to bother them. And then someone else who's not as nice as me is going to notice that and then not be as nice. You know, it's like I feel like I'm outing them in a way sometimes.
Yeah. I always think, like, what is the person I would break my rule for?
Well, I broke my rule in September because I met Christine Baranski. And then I was like, I'm meeting Christine Baranski. Loved her since I was 16. And I didn't get a picture with her. I just talked to her. And it was a much better experience than if I had, you know, tried to just ask for a picture. And then I found out later she doesn't like that. So I was so glad that I didn't ask.
Oh, see, what I do is, like, if I am going to go talk to someone, if I'm with my friends, I hand them my phone and I'm like, take pictures.
That's smart.
Because then I'm like, I am not asking for a picture. It looks like I didn't prompt it. So it's like they're not mags. They're like, well, their friend took it. Like,
I was at work, so I didn't have a friend with me. Although I did say, so I'm going to leave my position right now. He's like, go. Everyone knew. They're like, it's okay. Go talk to Christine Baranski.
Oh, geez.
But I think it's interesting. And a reason I wanted to talk about this topic as well is that something that I've learned from a lot of my research for this show is that it took a really long time for Harrison to get used to celebrity. He may not still be used to it.
Oh, he's been much nicer about it.
He's been much nicer. Yeah. But he has said that it took him a really long time to even get really comfortable and not be upset about that. And honestly, I think I can understand, particularly if you're very private.
Well, yeah. And I mean, there's the stories where they came back from doing press for Star Wars. And then it was just like insane. Like, they got off the plane and everyone was waiting for it. It was like, it was Beatlemania, but like times 20 because they had no idea what was happening.
He got his clothes ripped at a record store.
Yeah. Like, it was like, the thing about Harrison Ford, and I think why he's nicer, is like the younger fans or the older people and like the boys especially, they kind of feel like entitled because they're like, I remember I was there when I saw this, I did this. Mm-hmm. And the boys are more like, dude, like, I gave you so much money because I went and saw all your stuff. We're girl fans, like, people like me especially are like, oh no, I just want to say hi and thank you because I like grew up watching everything you do because like my whole family is a fan of yours. Like, it would never be like, if he was near me and walked past me, I'd just be like, hi. Like, it'd be like when I met Amy Poehler for the first time and literally just went, hi, as she like passed me. That's what would probably happen. Like, I act like I'd be okay, but like, he would be near me and my voice would just go, nah.
Well, this is actually a really good segue because we bought our tickets to Comic-Con New York in October.
Carrie Fisher.
So how do you feel about that?
I haven't told my brother. I posted it on Facebook, but I don't know if he saw. But I tried to get him to come to this because I was like, dude, Carrie Fisher's going to be there. But his best friend's getting married that weekend. So he was like, I can't. And I called my mom. I was like, I spent $50 to meet Carrie Fisher. She was like, all right. Like, she's like, when with that kind of stuff, I just let you and your brother do it. Like, my brother spent so much money when William Shatner came to North Carolina because that's like his hero.
Well, you spent $50 to get in.
Oh, yeah.
There's another cost later to meet Carrie Fisher.
I got to figure out. She's in the, like, if there's like the legit photo thing, isn't it like 200 to take a picture or something?
I don't know. I haven't done it. I know it's definitely over 100. And I believe the pictures at conventions are more expensive than the autographs. This will only be my second con.
I've never been to a Comic-Con. Well, I think, okay. Well, I think with her, she would just be like,
that's true. Because I heard at Star Wars Celebration that Mark Hamill is more expensive than Carrie Fisher and people were upset.
Well, I think because Carrie Fisher doesn't give a shit. Like, Mark Hamill, I think, is, like, he's marketable more so than Carrie Fisher is Princess Leia and on, like, writes books. So, Carrie Fisher doesn't care. Where Mark Hamill's like, I'm the Joker, I'm that. Like, he is very much aware of his brand, where Carrie Fisher literally does not give a fuck. And so, I think...
Which is kind of her brand.
Yeah, which... And so, I think she's more like, I don't care. Like, whatever. Like,
I'm sure she has no control over the set prices, though.
No, but I feel like with her... I think at that event, like, it would not be anywhere near $500.
Oh, God, no, no.
Well, some of them are...
Really?
Expensive. Like, when you go meet the doctors, like, it was, like, $450 to take pictures with Matt Smith and David Tennant.
Oh, my God. Mm-hmm. Although, I kind of get it, but oh, my God.
But that's two of them. So, I feel like with her, it might be, like, $200. But
it wasn't, it wasn't $500 each. It was, like...
No, it was $450 for both. But
that is a lot, though.
It is a lot. But what I'm hoping for is if it's, like, $200, I haven't decided if I want to do it. I don't know if I want to be normal... Or if I want to dress like female Han. Like, I haven't decided. Like, I have the
pants.
She's
cool, though. Like, she will do tableaus. Like, she will do something with you.
I know, but I feel like I would hate looking at those later in life and being like, I dressed up like female Han Solo to meet Carrie Fisher. Like, I'd be very mad at myself.
Wear one of your shirts.
See, I also was like, I guess I could wear my one that says, like, a force to be reckoned with the Leia buns. Or I might just, like... Get a, like, look online and get a cool shirt. I don't know. I don't want to be, don't want to be that person.
So are you going to do just the photo, or are you going to do the autograph and the photo?
Depending on money. If it's like soup's expensive, I'll just do a picture. But
the thing is that the next week her book comes out. So I'm hoping she does a book event and we can get the autograph
there.
Exactly. Yeah. Because I feel like what's happening nowadays is that all the Barnes and Nobles in Manhattan are really closing and there's only a few left. Like when I met Carrie, it was at the Lincoln Center Barnes and Noble.
But that's not there anymore, right?
It's not there anymore. And then the next time her book came out, she didn't do anything in New York. And I was like, what's going on? And when Steve Martin comes, he always goes to the one on 14th Street. So I think maybe they have some sort of deal. I don't know. But what's happening lately now is that they'll do like a talk. So you'll pay for the talk at like 92nd Street Y or something. And then afterwards, it comes with a book signing. Plus Super Week, which is a thing in Manhattan where Comic-Con happens. There's all these sort of talkbacks and events, which so hopefully we'll be able to do one of those and report it back to everybody.
Yeah, I just am excited because I love Carrie.
As do I. I'm actually super excited for you to meet her.
I'm going to... A part of me wants to buy her a Coke and like bring it and be like,
well, you know what I said? I think you should get her the Coca-Cola lip balms.
I'm not going to do that. I'm not doing that. I might just come in like a dress with my hair pinned half up, half down with a Coke in my hand and be like, I'm Carrie Fisher.
That would actually be pretty funny.
But just like a cute little dress, like look normal, but like straight up have a Coke in my hand and be like, I'm Carrie Fisher. She would be like, That's clever. That's funny. Because it's like, I'm not doing anything extraneous. I'm just walking around with a Coke can.
Gary might come to you instead.
I would be so happy if that dog, I'd be like, he's mine now. I'm taking this dog.
All right, so should we move on to the movie of the day?
Yeah.
Oh no. So we watched Hanover Street from 1979.
Which is two movies that like he just is the unwilling companion in.
Yeah, but one of the big reasons that he wanted to do this movie was because he had yet to kiss a girl on screen. He had yet to be...
He screwed himself over with that one then.
Yes, he did.
He literally was like, I've never kissed a girl. Now it's like, here you go, sir. You're the romantic lead. Even if it's not a romance movie, you're going to make out with every girl in the movie.
Did he? Who else did he make out with in the movie?
No, I'm saying in his whole career. Like, this kind of screwed him over because every movie he makes out with at least one girl.
Well, that's different, too. He got really good scripts because of then he's going to do Empire. Okay, and but then he got Hollywood directors.
Homicide where he had a sex scene with a donut.
I love that you say that. I find that sentence completely hilarious.
He has a there's
2000s.
A sex scene, then he picks up a donut.
He does. I think that's Harrison Ford's sense of humor. But that's the 2000s. Ugh. 2000s was not a good time for him. So do you want to do your summary first, or do you want me to talk about some trivia?
I'll talk about it.
Okay.
Okay. So Hanover Street, this movie set during World War II, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Because they're trying to, everyone's trying to always fight the Germans. But so he's an American soldier. He randomly meets this girl on the street and she is in his way and makes him miss his bus.
Yeah, they have a little cute little banter.
And so then he misses his bus. Then he like fucks with her and like limps away. And so she thinks he's a hurt soldier and she feels bad. And then he dances back and makes her miss her bus. So then he is like, okay, well, we have time now. Let's go get coffee. So it's like a really dumb meet cute. And I say that in the worst way because I hated that relationship in this movie.
As did I, but continue.
And so they go and get coffee and he suddenly loves her after just meeting her. But so then she's like, I need to leave. And as they're going, they start bombing the area they're in. And so they run and like take cover. And so she ends up like basically viewing him as like her knight in shining armor because he saved her from the bombing. Or, like, he didn't save her. That like, he was there when it happened.
He finds her and hugs her. And
yeah.
It's all romantic.
And so then he tells her, my next day off is in a week. Next Thursday, like, come here. And so she does. So they go, and they have some dinner. And then they have some sexy times. And during the sexy times, there's a zoom in on her hand so that you see her wedding ring.
Oh, I didn't notice that.
Yeah,
part.
That's how I was like, oh, that's fucked. Like, I like was sitting, like I woke up this morning and watched it in my bed. Like I was in my PJs, laying in my bed. And I was like, that's fucked up. Like, cause it like zoomed in on her wedding ring. And it's like the weird, it's not even a sex scene. It's literally just close-ups on them kissing and then hands holding hands, but then goes back to them just normal kissing. And it's like, clearly they were like, this is still the 1970s. We don't do sex scenes, but we're going to make it very clear that that's what this is. But it was like no movement to make it look like a sex scene. Just like them still like kissing each other. It was like weird as shit.
Implied sex scene.
And then the next scene is, I think, him on the plane. No. Her at home with her husband and her kid. Her husband, who is Christopher Plummer. Like, fuck you, dude. You had Captain Von Trapp and you're going to cheat on him. Granted, it was with Harrison Ford, but still, you're going to cheat on Captain Von Trapp.
And she's very unconvincing, I feel, when, oh, I can't come meet you. You must meet me. No, I can't. But
it was like overdramatic central. Like,
yeah.
I can't meet you. And then she tells him like after their like third tryst together that she's married, which I was like, that should have been your opener. That should have been the opening conversation you had with this man that was, I'm married. So then if he said, okay, like I'm in. It would have established, like, he's a douchebag and so are you.
But save the commentary. We're going to talk about that. Do your summary. I just don't want to lose some of this.
And so he's a pilot. And so, like, basically they're trying to get a spy into the German camp to get into the safe so that they can get their, like, plans. Mm-hmm. Because in all of these movies, they're like, the Germans have plans in a safe. Why? Just use verbal plans. Like, why has no army ever just been like, we're not going to write it down because every time we write it down, someone finds it. Anyway, saving the commentary. Anyways, so the guy that they've like sent a couple spies in, they've got murdered. So Christopher Plummer is training this guy and they're like, he's not ready, but it needs to happen. And so Christopher Plummer realizes his wife kind of like, not hates him, but doesn't see him as the hero. Decides he's going to be the one that goes into the German camps. So as they're going to drop him off, it's H. Ford, Captain Von Trapp, and then like Harrison Ford's pilot group. But like, so I think they hit the plane, and so the two people who fly with Harrison Ford got burned. I was like, oh wow, that's convenient. And so the only two who survived the plane crash are Captain Von Trapp and Harrison Ford. I don't know names if you guys haven't noticed. And so,
I like this so much better than their names.
So him and Captain Von Trapp go into German territory, which is funny because I'm like, LOL, Captain Von Trapp, you're a Nazi. But so they send her. He's not a Nazi sympathizer or whatever.
No, he's not. They escaped the Nazis.
That's right. I forgot it's set in Germany. I haven't seen The Sound of Music in like 10 years.
I don't even like that movie.
I don't know. I just know that they were in trouble with the people. Laura Benanti.
I'm Jewish. I guess I just know the Nazi stuff.
Laura Benanti sings in it. I don't know.
That's the wrong version, but okay.
No, I watched the Carrie Underwood version that was terrible. The only good thing was that Laura Benanti and Christian Borle were in it. And that's the only good thing that happened. Oh, and Steven, what's his name from True Blood? The guy who played Captain Von Trapp? The guy from Stephen Moyer played Captain Von Trapp.
So what happens at the end of the movie, Rachel?
So Captain Von Trapp, the Nazi sympathizer, because I fucked up. Captain Von Trapp. Oh, I was thinking of Cabaret. Okay. No, yeah.
Yeah, no,
they're
different
not
movie.
Different musical.
Also a great musical, though.
Goddamn. I was thinking of that song where he's like, Tomorrow Belongs to Me. And I was like, no, Captain Von Trapp sings. I'm like, no, he doesn't. That's a little blonde guy.
It is.
Woo. But so they get the plans. They defeat them all. They get across the bridge. The bridge blows up. And Harrison Ford is basically telling Captain Von Trapp that he's the hero that she deserves. Because he, like, there was a French woman that helped them, but her father was a Nazi sympathizer.
There you go.
There it is. And so her father calls the Nazis. There's no phones. So I don't know how they, or there's phones, but not like.
It's not 1912.
No,
they
but there's not phones.
Phones.
Like, what did he do? Call up Nazi headquarters and be like, hey guys, I found this.
It's the government. I think he found them.
Whatever it was, he called up the Nazis.
Yeah, I wasn't thinking that far.
Yeah, I was like, what? How did he just call up the Nazis?
Because it's the government.
I don't know the government's number.
You know the police, though.
Yeah, but the police are not the Nazis. The police are different from the Nazis.
No, we're kind of the same.
No, whatever. Anyways, the gazpachos come. And they, like... So they're running across this bridge and it blow up like a part of it and it falls and Captain Von Trapp catches the last thing and he like looks at Harrison Ford's like, tell my wife I died a hero. And Harrison Ford's like, tell her yourself. Because my favorite part of the whole movie was where
he figures out, by the way, right?
Harrison Ford does.
Yeah, he figures out that.
Yeah, because
he hands
a picture of his wife to Harrison Ford and he realizes it's the girl because he says her name's Margaret and he like kind of is like, oh, is it well, the girl I love is Maggie. And then he sees the picture and like puts two and two together. But so my favorite part of the whole movie is when they have to prove to the woman that they're American and he just goes, apple pie, Illinois, farmlands. I'm like, okay. Like, and then every time he has to like prove that he's American, he just says apple pie. And I was like, other countries can eat apple pie.
Well, we are kind of known.
We're known for hot dogs and baseball. Why couldn't you just say baseball? Like, that is an American sport.
It's you know, one of those colloquialism stereotype things that...
It was dumb. Anyways, so then they get across the bridge. You think Von Trapp dies, but he doesn't. Because they get a phone call. And the little daughter is like, Mom, is that a good cry or a bad cry? Or Mummy... Is it a good cry or a bad cry? And her mom doesn't say anything. She goes, I knew it. Because she had just said that her father was fine. Mm-hmm. And so then Captain Von Trapp is fine and alive and well. But instead of going to her husband, she runs to Harrison Ford in the middle of the... It's like a weird run where, like, for a minute I thought they were going to be running to different people. It's
very melodramatic.
But I thought they were going to be running to different people. The way the run is, it, like, looks like it was, like, cut back and forth to make you think they were running to get to each other, and then it was going to be, like, them running to different people, like, her running to Captain Von Trapp.
Movie's not that smart.
No, but I, like, thought that was going to happen, and then it didn't. And I was like...
He looks great in that scene, though.
I felt gypped. Oh, he looks good in this whole movie.
Yeah.
But, yeah, and so... Harrison Ford is basically like...
He lets her go back to her husband.
He's like, I've never loved somebody so much that I've never loved something so much that I'm willing to let it go. And so, and then he says, but you're the first thing I've loved enough to let go. And so she goes back to Captain Von Trapp.
Doesn't he say like, we'll always have tea or something?
No, he's... No. Okay, that's a Casablanca quote. He says...
I know that.
He
but says, not the tea part. We'll always have Paris.
He says... Think of me when you have tea.
There you go.
To which I was on my bed and I went, that's fucking dumb. Like, I literally, the words that came out of my roommate was probably like, what is she watching? Because it was supposed to be like, oh my God. Where it was supposed to be that moment of, here's looking at you, kid, or like, we'll always have Paris.
Exactly.
But instead, it was like that moment of like, that's a fucking common thing to have.
So I think you won't be surprised that Harrison did not like the script initially.
Good. I am Harrison Ford.
Yeah. So we got to go back a little bit in Harrison's career, because last episode we were at Apocalypse Now, but that was really filmed in 77. So really, the last thing that he did was Force 10 to Navarone. And he was actually on set for Force 10, talking with the director. He didn't like the script at all, but he really liked the director's passion. Like, they talked for like all night, like in between takes in his trailer. So he was promised that they would work on the script, but they did not. One of the things that I thought was interesting was one thing that I thought was interesting is right before this, to do this movie, he turned down the prequel to He turned down the sequel to Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid because he didn't want to be in the shadow of Paul Newman, which is also interesting considering what's happening with Han Solo and, you know, the actor with that. He did have some, reservations about playing another pilot, doing another World War II movie. But as I mentioned before, his big issue was he got to...
Hold on. What's happening with the actor? The thing you just made a comment about, Han Solo.
Oh, no, it's just that it is a lot to consider to be in the footsteps of a more famous actor and to be compared to him.
Okay, I didn't understand what you're talking about, but yeah.
I just thought that was an interesting thing considering what's happening, which I think we'll talk about more later.
Well, I think it's because him and Paul Newman are closer in age, where...
But Paul Newman was a huge, huge star.
Yeah, but I mean, they're closer in age to where it would be his entire career was that. Where this Alden, right? That's his name?
Mm-hmm.
He would be in the shadow of a character more than an actor.
That's true.
Where,
you know,
like,
what? You're right.
You see Han Solo, like, Han Solo to me is its own entity. It's not Harrison Ford. Where it's like Mark Hamill is like, well, yeah, Mark Hamill played Luke Skywalker, but he's not Luke Skywalker. And I think a lot of people view them all that way. The only one that gets kind of into that character, like, constantly is Carrie Fisher. And that's because all, like, young boys, as she's pointed out, touched themselves to her image for so many years. And so, like, she has been ingrained as this sex icon as Leia, where it's like, oh, girls don't like Star Wars, so the boys aren't seen as much like that. Where, like, nowadays, I'm like, no. Han Solo is most definitely the sex icon of that movie.
I do, though, think, I mean, I agree with you, but I do think that being in the shadow and being, he's going to be compared to Harrison Ford, just like he thought he was going to be compared to Paul Newman. He didn't want that.
Well, yeah, I mean, but that's more so the character, like how he's going to play the character, where it's like, it was so distinct how Harrison Ford played Han Solo.
Yes, very
that,
much
like,
so.
This guy is going to more so be looked at like, how are you going to make Han Solo different, but still Han Solo.
Yeah.
Like, it's not going to be like, oh, it's not going to be, how are you going to imitate Harrison Ford? It's going to be like, how are you going to make Han Solo different, but still Han Solo?
Which I think is going to be really difficult.
Well, yeah. Well, it's like the Doctor. Like, if you look
Doctor's
at stuff
so
like
different,
this,
though.
But that's the thing is like, Doctor's every so Doctor, different. There's still something that's the same. So it's like he's still the doctor. So it's like, yeah, there's differences, but you still have to have that element of the doctor before you. Because if you don't, you're going to lose so much of what the last doctor gained. And that's why Peter Capaldi works so much, because he has that temper that 11 had, but he's also more playful like 10, and he's also like his own thing. And so it's like he has all the other elements of the other doctors, but he's still his own entity. And I think with something like Han Solo, that's what needs to happen, where I understand Harrison Ford's fear of becoming Paul Newman, because it wasn't a character. It was a character, but it was more so...
It's being in the shadow of someone.
Where those, the Han Solo thing is more like you're in the shadow of a character, not an actor.
Okay. And I do agree with that, but I do think that most people are going to go, well, you need to remind me of a younger Harrison Ford. And
well, that, but
the,
yeah.
In the footsteps of Harrison Ford.
But that's because of the character. Like, he's not going to be labeled as the new Harrison Ford. He's going to be Han Solo.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Yeah,
okay.
Like, he's
I don't
not
mean
gonna
that.
Be the new Harrison Ford. He's going to be Han Solo.
That's not what I mean. I just mean being compared to. Just like
everyone's compared. When
he
you
felt that he didn't want to be compared to Paul Newman.
Well, yeah, because that's more, he would be in the shadow in that instance.
Which is
this
exactly
this guy
what, yeah.
is more in, like, he's not in a shadow. He's being held up to a standard that if he doesn't meet, his career's done. And so there's a difference between being in the shadow of an actor and being held up on this pedestal that if you don't maintain that pedestal, you're done. And this guy, Alden, needs to like hit that highest
peak. It's definitely
peak
harder, yeah.
Because if he isn't the Han Solo everyone wants him to be, then he's going to just, there's going to be like, you're not Han Solo.
I think that he is more on his shoulders though than a doctor would, because the whole point of the whole regeneration is built on the shoulders of, this is another actor who's coming in because the main actor was dying originally.
Yeah.
We don't want this other actor to feel compelled to try to recreate this, what another actor has done. So let's add this element of they are a little bit different.
Well, but that everyone is, I think Doctor Who helped everyone be well aware of the fact that if you're remaking something with a different actor, it's not going to be the same. Like, we're all aware
of the
really
fact. It was really smart of them to do that.
We're all well aware of the fact that he is not going to be Harrison Ford, but he still is going to have to bring us the Han Solo that we all love.
Yeah, see that.
Like, he can't be coy Han Solo. Because, like, Han Solo is not coy. Han Solo is a little whiny child. And if you don't, he's cocky, but he's also a whiny brat. And that's why he fights with Leia as much as he does.
But my issue is with younger versions of other characters played by other actors is I need to believe that you grow up to be this person. And if I don't believe that, then you have not succeeded for me.
I mean, it works. River Phoenix did it.
Yeah, no.
Last Crusade, and it worked.
When we get to Age of Adalon, I think it'll be really interesting if we talk about all the different...
Anthony and Gruber?
Yeah, and people who have played younger versions of him.
Anthony and Gruber is great, but he is literally just an impersonator. That's what he is. He impersonates Harrison Ford. And I wanted him to be Han Solo because I wanted him to look like Harrison Ford and kind of talk like him. But I was like, but that's not what that movie needs. It doesn't need an impersonator. It needs an actor who can understand Han Solo in the way that Harrison Ford made
him. Yeah, I don't
him.
Envy that actor.
No.
He's wonderful. I thought he was the best part of Hail Caesar. He was fantastic.
No, but the thing about Han Solo is like Harrison Ford made him this big, rich character that the writing didn't. And so now I think it's almost easier for him to play Han Solo because it's like, you know exactly what people want to see.
But there's a lot of pressure.
Yeah, but you have this element of like, I'm going to bring me into it. As long as he's a fucking cocky son of a bitch, like,
you're cool with
it.
You're
great.
Yeah.
Like, you're going to be a great Han Solo if you're a cocky asshole.
Well, we can talk more about that later.
I'm like, I'm coming around to it more.
I can tell.
I was very opposed.
I'm very surprised at this.
I was very opposed, but it's like, I want more Han Solo. Like, I like
no, and
four
I was
movies
actually,
of Han Solo.
I was just telling my mother that I love your whole idea because I'm the same way. It's like, I will find something that I like about something because it's more of what I love.
Yeah, that's like the prequels. Everyone makes fun of them, but I loved the prequels because it was Star Wars that I got to see in the movie theaters. Like, and I got to wait for the next one to come out. And that's why I like The Force Awakens. Granted, it was a great movie, but that's why I loved it so much. And that's why I'm going to love Rogue One. That's anything that is something I love. And that's why people are like bashing The Cursed Child, Harry Potter and the Cursed Child. And I'm like,
which also isn't fair because they haven't
Harry
seen it.
Harry Potter.
But they also haven't seen it.
Yeah, but I'm like, it's more Harry Potter. I don't care if it's bad. It's something that I love. I was like, I can't wait for the stupid Eddie Redmayne movie of Fantastic Beasts
and Where to Find Them. That looks great, though, and I'm not a big Harry Potter fan. That looks great.
But it's like, the thing is, it didn't need to be made.
I love it. I'm just like, it's not, I'm not like big on it like you are.
Yeah, but no, it didn't need to be made, but I'm excited about it. And that's like the Ilvermorny, the school that they're now doing with the new houses. At first I was like, this is stupid. Instantly went on and took the test and was like, I want to know like, it's just something I enjoy. So it's like, I don't care if it's stupid. I don't care how much no one likes it. I'm like, it's still something I love. So that's why I was like, I will be fine. I'll be fine with it.
So I want to throw something at you. So that I think you'd really like. So one of the big reasons that the director really wanted him to do it was this movie, Hanover Street, is that he felt that he had a Pierce burning sexual energy.
Agreed.
That the critics said did not show up on screen.
Agreed.
Every
other movie, agree with that statement. This movie,
I was really...
He kind of forced her into it. I literally was like, he's kind of figuratively forcing her into this relationship, and it rubbed me the wrong way.
It did too, and I kind of wonder if it's dated, but I think the big issue is in some people, some critics have said, you know, after the fact that this was around the time of the breakup of his first marriage. He was not having a good time. But this is 79. He's spending a lot of time not at home because he was doing movies overseas. There was a lot of strain, and some people think that maybe that was affecting his performance. To me, it was a very dull performance. There was no energy, none of the crackling sexual energy. There was nothing that was dynamic that we had seen previously, although I feel like most of his movies up until Empire don't show that off as well, which we can talk about more about later.
Yeah,
but he was not getting along with the director. Even Leslie Ann Down, who played the romantic lead, said that they didn't really talk much off screen. He was very shy, very quiet, and she felt like she didn't get to know him, and so they didn't have that much chemistry. But all of the planes were real. Apparently, they spent a lot of money on that, and it was originally offered to Kris Kristofferson, who said no, and they filmed the same set as Star Wars. Yes, so the script was not changed. I know a lot of people like this movie, and he looks great in it. I can see that. I think he's terrible in it. I don't think it's romantic. It feels very dated.
It's like he literally just said the lines. Like, there's no action behind it.
It really shocked me. I was so looking forward to this movie. I love World War II. I love romances. It felt like these sort of hokey, melodramatic TV movies that I used to watch from the 80s, like North and South, which oddly enough Leslie is in, just like based on these sort of over dramatic books. But I have to say, if the whole movie had been just him and Christopher Plummer in Germany, that might have been interesting.
But instead, it was that stupid ass love thing.
Was not a fan of this movie, unfortunately.
Me either. And I know we're going to talk about it next episode, but like his performance in the first Coke, it was also very like he didn't try.
No, yeah, I felt like he was better in More American Graffiti, actually. But yeah, we'll save that for next time.
I feel like this was a part of his career where he like Han Solo made him, and I think he wasn't sure of how to be in movies.
Well, I talked about this before. I feel like he feels more comfortable with directors who let him ask questions, which he's also said was he had a lot of directors where he wasn't big enough for them to want to listen to him. And then when we get to Empire and, Indiana Jones, not only are they great movies, but they're directors who he works really well with and he can ask questions off of, and it makes him a better actor. And then I think he gets more confident.
And then eventually we'll get the frittata.
Yes, eventually we'll get to Morning Glory. But
his whole career is leading up to Morning Glory.
So Blade Runner is going to start filming very soon, if not already, in Budapest.
Yeah, 74-year-old Harrison Ford.
Because his birthday is July 13th, if people don't know.
Yep.
Episode is going to be his birthday show. We're going to do a little fun thing for that.
It'll be after the fact.
Yeah, it'll be after the fact, unfortunately, because of hiatus. We're not actually on during his birthday week.
Away from my mommy's birthday.
Yeah. so it's fine.
Problem with your mother and Harrison Ford sharing a birthday.
So inconvenient.
Sorry.
And then Star Wars 8 actually ends July 22nd. So he still has time to go over to England. Because apparently, a spoiler for Blade Runner 2, not a big one, but he doesn't have a large part in Blade Runner 2.
What's the point? Oh, I hate.
He's kind of the MacGuffin. Apparently, most of the movie is searching for Deckard.
So he's Luke Skywalker.
I know. It cracks me up. And now he's got the Luke Skywalker beard.
I hate that.
I thought you liked the beard.
No, that it's just, like, I hate when people do that. Don't sell your movie with saying so-and-so came back as their character and then put them away for the whole fucking thing.
Here's the thing, though. Star Wars has 3 movies.
No, that's fine. I'm not talking about Luke Skywalker. I'm talking about this.
Okay, he's going to be in it more than Luke Skywalker. He's in the third act. So he's just not, he's in it more, but the whole point is looking for him. And we'll talk more about that when we get to actually Blade Runner.
It'll answer the question of whether or not he's a replicant or not.
Yeah, I think they will. Which
I mean, they would have to. He aged. Replicants don't age.
That's my issue.
It's like, he's not a replicant. He aged. He's 74.
Ridley Scott is so adamant that he's a replicant. And Ridley Scott has had his hands in this sequel. So I'm like, what are they going to do?
They're going to do what they did with Terminator.
Oh, no.
Where they used CGI'd Arnold Schwarzenegger.
No. Well, let's talk about this then. So, while we've been away, since we haven't been able to talk about it on the show, I have sort of tongue-in-cheekly, so to speak, but also for fun and truth, started something called Beard Watch 2016, where we've all tried to figure out what this beard is for as it's grown.
I know the answer.
What do you think?
I know. It's not me thinking I know the answer. They don't want us to know that they're making The Fugitive 2. They're just having him grow his beard.
That would actually be very appropriate because it's very bushy and he looks like he's
The Fugitive 2.
Yeah.
The Blade Runner, they're like, fuck that. That was a front.
Well, originally I had posted the idea that it could be for Han Solo, hopefully, because there's actually concept art of Han Solo in Force Awakens with a beard. But then it just kept growing. And then, as you mentioned last time, I went to go see Blade Runner, which I'd never seen, and it ended. And I went, this was at the end of May. Oh, the beard's for Blade Runner 2. It's got to be, just based on the ending. And then I was convinced at that. And now the fact that he still got the beard, this week they start filming. I really think it's for Blade Runner 2. That's my conclusion.
What made me so mad was apparently there's a spoiler for Star Wars. There's a Han Solo funeral scene.
Oh, no, that's been debunked. It's not that.
Okay, because I was going to say, like, everyone kept being like, so, yeah, there's all your theories. And I was like, yo, assholes, he doesn't have a body. So, like, why are you saying there goes your theory? People think he's dead.
And also, like, any theory that comes from pictures from far off in the distance trying to guess what's happening are probably not true.
I feel like he will be there as a ghost, as something.
I'm hoping.
Because there was a huge chunk of time where no one knew what Harrison Ford was doing or where he was.
When was this?
Like, after he was here till Spain, no one knows what he was doing.
Well, he was in Newfoundland, actually.
Okay, well, you know what he was doing, but I have no idea what he was doing.
We're going to talk about next episode some of the charity stuff that he's been doing.
I had no idea any of that.
Yeah. But that being said, even if he does not go to England by July 22nd, all movies do reshoots. Even Force Awakens did reshoots in L.A. There's still a chance that he could do something in L.A., I think.
I'm not holding out hope.
Even if he's not in 8, I will then hold out hope that he's in 9. I just can't imagine that his story is that over.
He got cut through the heart with a lightsaber.
I think I, of all people, was the one who was saying that to you. So, yeah. No, he's dead. He's definitely dead.
Whatever.
All right. So, just some business. If people don't know, Star Wars Celebration Europe is July 15th through the 17th. And then Life Debt, which is a big Han book. And Leia as well has apparently got some major awesome stuff in it. Did you get to read the excerpt that got released?
Nope.
Do you want me to spoil it for you?
Go for it.
Okay, so we're going to spoil a little bit.
Is this, it's when she's pregnant, right?
Yeah.
Because I'm bringing Bloodline with me to the beach. Because I started Bloodline, but got so crazed. I didn't get to read it. So
well, I figure it'll actually make more sense if we do a book club on Bloodline and Life Debt. Because
when did Life Debt come out?
Comes out July 12th, the day before his birthday. And it's, I believe that he's not in it as much, but the... Again, who knows? All these things keep coming out. But the concept of the book is that he and Chewbacca are going to go save his Chewbacca's home world. Life Debt, obviously. That's where it comes from. So it's going to be...
Enjoy it.
Yeah, and they just released an excerpt of Leia thinking about where Han is and where Mark... Oh, who said Mark? Where Luke is. And... I'm not sure if she knows that she's pregnant or she's first discovering it, but she uses the Force to figure out that she's having a boy.
A little piece of shit son named Kylo Ren.
Well, you know, that happens a lot later. But Life Debt is part of the Aftermath trilogy. There was a book that came out, Journey to the Force Awakens. It's all sort of filling in time. That was the first one. This is the second one. And then Empire's End comes out 31st of January. And they're all written by Chuck. Hopefully I say his name right, Wendig. And then you want to thank the little gift that you're going to get?
Yeah, I'm getting Han Solo's blaster.
Yeah.
So I'm really excited about this because I made Han Solo pants like forever ago. And I was going to buy a blaster, but they were all like so crazy. And so Lauren texted me and was like, so I got a gift that I'm sure you're not going to want to give away.
Well, that was the thing.
She said we could keep it or give it away.
Oh, you want to tell everyone? Or yes. She said we could keep it or give it away as a prize.
And when she told me that it was Han Solo's blaster, I was like, no one's getting it but me. Like,
oh, no. This was someone who, and she would love it if we could promote her blog.
It's
Ezra Trash, I think, with a Z.
Ezra, yes. It is ERSATZASH. .tumblr.com.
Yeah. So she won one of our contests that we do to, you know, get more followers and get people more interested in the show. That's separate from our big contest that we do every sort of, you know, season. And she had listened to the show, which was really cool. So she listened to it and was like, I think you guys are great. I make amateur props. Would you like this? And I went, just so you know, Rachel's going to want it.
Uh-huh. And I'm going to have Han Solo's blaster. And that's why I was like, if I get the blaster... I might want to dress up like female Han Solo because I have the pants. So all I would need was the vest.
I think you should.
But I don't want to have my picture to be me as female. I don't know. I haven't decided.
Well, you know, there is Halloween. It's coming up.
I might just be Han Solo for Halloween.
And so we are going to announce the winner of our spring contest right now.
We are. Oh, okay.
You don't have to.
No, I didn't know we were doing it. Let's do it.
I thought it'd be cool to like announce it live, so
let's
to speak.
Let's do it.
Okay, well, do you want to do it?
All right, fine, I'll do it. And the winner who put in for it on May 26, 2016 at 11:31.
So specific.
With 47 milliseconds is, I hope to God I say your name right, Cashton Fitzsimmons, and I won't read out your email.
Congratulations.
Congratulations.
You have won a classic picture, 8x10 glossy.
Oh, she got the Han Solo one I wanted.
She does, yeah. Han Solo picture. I'm also going to include, because I mentioned that I would up the ante if more people submitted, a vinyl decal for your computer of Han and Leia saying, I love you, I know.
Nice.
And do you want to, I thought this would be great. So I have the prize in my hand for our summer contest.
It's the big prize?
It's a big prize. The way that our summer contest works is that you answer a trivia question from the episode. You go to a link that's on our Tumblr under contests. You fill out the information. And for every social media that you follow us on, you get an extra entry and for getting the question right. So I've put together a little something special for Harrison's birthday month.
Yeah, and so there's a bag I want. It's a pencil bag.
Yeah,
it looks like a pencil bag.
It's got everyone on it.
It has everyone on it. There's Leia, Luke, Obi-Wan, Chewie, Han, R2, C-3PO, and that's it. And now I got to open this.
Yeah, I just thought it would be fun if you read it on the air because you're going to want to keep everything.
Here we go. oh, the Han and Leia decals. I want that. I'm going to say what I want out of this bag.
Okay, you do that.
You got a sticker of the... We got these sweet buttons that you'll get. One says Carrie Fisher. It looks like Carrie Fisher's running for president.
Yeah, movement movement buttons.
Movement buttons. There's
movementbuttons.com is one of our sponsors now.
There's an Indiana Jones one and a Han one. And then we got... What is this?
So that's
a tie?
No, it's a wrap for your head. Although we do have a tie, if someone would rather have the tie. It's got all the cartoons from the original 70s, or comics, I should say. And it's by a friend of mine, Jennifer Rose. She's an amazing cosplay designer and seamstress.
We gave you guys some polo.
Yeah. Cologne. Well, polo for the polo fragrance for the 80s man.
We got some.
If you guys want perfume, I can give you perfume. Yeah, so a friend of mine, this is actually kind of not, you know, related to particularly Harrison Ford or anything, but a friend of mine has this really great company called Haas Urban. I'm wearing the Lip Glide right now. All kinds of amazing products. So we're going to put in some cleanser for you guys.
You got some sweet stickers.
Star Wars stickers.
Star Wars stickers. And then you got two I want. Again, I'm telling you guys what I want.
Pair of Redbubble, two pictures of Harrison.
Two stickers of Harrison Ford, old and young. and that's it. And it's all in this nice little pencil bag.
Yeah, and I may add stuff as we come along. We have some really great people who are going to be sending us some handmade stuff.
Yeah, you guys just don't get my prop gun.
Yeah, Lantastic Stuff on Etsy made this beautiful pencil bag. And we're also going to have, links to this as well on the website.
Yeah, this pencil bag is vinyl sweet.
Open Vinyl Lab made the I Love You, I Know decals. Although the one that's going to our big winner is from Cap and Bell Studios. This is all on Etsy. But Movement Buttons has been really great and has given us a lot of stuff that we've been giving away.
They are great. They gave me a Leslie Knope one.
You're going to wear it when you vote, right?
I'm wearing it on my backpack every day.
I think that's freaking awesome. So also we are now on Google Play and Stitcher Radio, if that is your preferred way of listening to us, not just on iTunes. And we would really love it if you would review us and rate us on iTunes. It'll help more people find us. Some people have had some issues. You need to actually go to your profile and put in a nickname before you review. It really just, you know, brings up the algorithm and have more people find the show.
Yeah. So please rate, review, like, subscribe. Every other thing you do to a podcast, listen to it.
Do it to us.
Do it to us.
All right. So,
and I'm Rachel Leishman.
And I'm Lauren Milberger. You can find me at Twitter at Lauren Milberger.
And you can find me at Twitter at Rachel Leishman.
We are on Twitter at The Forecast PC. We are on Tumblr at The Forecast Podcast. We are on Facebook now. If anyone is on Facebook, at The Forecast Podcast. We are on Instagram at The Forecast Podcast.
We'll make a website. You'll find us on
everything. I'm so excited for the website.
And yeah.
Next week, we are going to be doing The Frisco Kid and Harrison's cameo in More American Graffiti.
And until then, bye.